Tomorrow, the voters decide. On Wednesday, one of the transition teams gets down to brass tacks. It might even visit you and ask you about your program. For more on what the first few days after the election will look like and for avoiding disruption of your own work, we turn to David Eagles, director of the Center for Presidential Transition at the Partnership for Public Service. And David, I imagine things are buzzing over there today, too.
Hey, Tom. Well, listen, thanks for having me on your program. And they are certainly buzzing. Here we are, just a few hours before the peaceful transfer of power set to begin. Very exciting.
And so the transition teams are both poised. Only one of them, though, will really leave the starting blocks, correct?
That's right. Both teams have been poised now for several months, really planning for this day. It can often feel theoretical for these teams because they're getting ready for the big day tomorrow. But the good news is both teams have been committed for months to governing this country. Both we've seen have the largest, most formal efforts started the earliest that we've seen in history. And from the outgoing administration side, too, the Obama administration has set the right tone and have started early as well. I'm confident we're prepared for a great day tomorrow to have this to be the smoothest transition in history. And at the end of the day, we should see much better results.
Now, is it fair to say or accurate to say that until now, the transition work has been mainly from the government to the teams? They're getting the national security briefings. They're learning about the different agencies and so forth. Now it might be more the teams coming into the government and actually asking about what's going on.
You know, it's interesting. These are really two parallel processes that, you're right, don't connect a lot, right? So on one hand, you do have the federal agencies. And the great news here is that every federal agency this cycle is preparing in a much more consistent way. And again, if you look at history, every agency is prepared completely differently for this transition. This cycle, we have a playbook. The administration has started this process very early. There's some expectations for what that meeting looks like. And then it's also interesting, on the other side of this parallel process, you've had these incoming teams. And they're focused on, in the pre-election phase, they were focused on cataloging their campaign promises and really doing a lot of open source research on what the agencies are doing. So it's funny, they're both trying to guess what each other has, and right after the election, you should have this come together.
And so how does it come together? What does it look like if you're in an agency now just doing your program management?
Well, so the good news is very soon you'll have essentially a memorandum of understanding signed by the president and by the winning team. It's basically a rules of the road document that allows access to that winning team in the transition space. So a couple things are going to happen right after the election. One is the winning team and both the losing team will have to vacate the current space that they're in to plan. Recall, this is only the second time in history both teams have had formal space and logistical support from the government that kicked in at the convention. So both teams are now going to have to get ready to assume basically the office of the president elects space. The second piece is those agency review teams on the incoming team. So there have been, let's say, a handful of folks portfolioed by all the major agencies out there. They've been, as I said, doing some open source research on what's happening. They've been thinking about the right types of questions to ask. And it's not just questions about their policy promises specifically, but it's also around those enablers to the policy promise, like technology, the budget, workforce, acquisition, how decisions are made, things like that. They're asking those types of questions as well. They'll come in probably a few days after the election, would be my guess. It's unlikely, although they have the right to come in the day after the election. I would bet you we're talking several days, even maybe that next week before they formally come in.
Just a detail question on something you said a moment ago. The transition team of the winning candidate will move out of one set of offices and into another?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. They'll go from smaller, essentially pre-election space into more formal president-elect space. And it's interesting how these teams have spent some time thinking about what that space ought to look like, who's going to sit where. There's literally an office of the president-elect and where he or she will sit. And so that's the space that gets turned on right after the election.
We're speaking with David Eagles, director of the Center for Presidential Transition at the Partnership for Public Service. Now, it's likely that neither team has a complete roster of people it wants in the various patronage jobs that will be available to it. Who's going to be coming in to talk to, say your EPA or your the Interior Department? Who will actually talk to you?
Yeah,
I would guess it's unlikely that's the person that's actually going to come in to work later on. Or it could be.
So it's a great question, by the way. And you're really right. There are two components within these transition teams, the incoming teams. One team that is focused on their presidential appointments. And so what they've been doing in this pre-election phase is, first of all, they're just understanding what these political roles are. This is an area that we at the Center for Presidential Transition have really been helping them on. Because by and large, you don't find descriptions of what these roles are. There's not a lot of detail. So They've been understanding what they are, and they've basically been thinking through options for these various positions. Ideally, they're slotting, you know, a handful of names, doing some political vetting per position. And what's different on the appointment side this cycle than at any point in history that we've seen is they're not just focused on their cabinet officials. Historically, they will trickle in their cabinet right around inauguration time. Now they're focused on cabinet and sub-cabinet, key sub-cabinet positions. They've been thinking through the prioritization of these top positions vis-a-vis their campaign promises. And I think what we'll see this cycle on the appointments teams is a far greater quality, quantity, and effectiveness of these teams in on the first day. My hope is that these teams can get their top 100 officials in place and prepared on the first day. That ought to be the goal of these teams. So that's one track. The second track, you're right, they will have landing team members on the policy side arrive at those agencies, as we spoke about, just a few days after the election. They're generally trying to just understand what's happening at the agency, what quick decisions they can make, what key events there are, what's working well that they can carry forward. And all the data that we've seen show that by and large, about half of those members, those people that arrive right after the election, will end up serving in that administration. So it's not complete, it's not everyone, but generally those folks will go on to serve in the administration, but it's a separate effort than determining who these presidential appointments are.
But they don't have access to federal data as insiders until they actually start work, correct?
You know, so it's interesting. That's by and large correct. That's right. But what does happen is they have been, the transition teams, the incoming teams, have been submitting some individuals' names for what we call a pre-clearance process. And so they're basically being allowed to access some classified data in those agencies that handle that sensitive information right after the election as well. So they will not be read in fully, so to speak, but you definitely see the doors beginning to open for these incoming teams for those officials that have been pre-cleared.
Now, if the White House party changes, then of course you can expect a very profound change in the staffing at the agency level. But that's also true, maybe to a lesser extent, but still there's pretty extensive change even if the same party stays in power.
That's exactly right, Tom. And for your listeners, too, I mean, it often in history, it's only happened twice, essentially, in the last 90 years, a same-party transition. But when we've looked at history, those same-party transitions have been some of the most difficult. And that seems counterintuitive, but the reason why is there's been an expectation of continuity by the outgoing administration that has historically never existed. They generally want their incoming teams to come in, the winning team. Regardless if it's a different party transition or same party transition, we ought to set the expectation here that there will be a new team coming in on behalf of the new president. Now, that being said, if it's a, quote, friendly takeover with the same party, there are certainly a lot of levers that Secretary Clinton could pull to hold over some officials that they choose, either in some temporary stopgap capacity until they get their own team, or for a more permanent period of time. That's up to them. It has happened before. We've seen that. But at the same time, the wise thing to do is to not set that expectation of continuity, allow the incoming team to figure out who they want to stay and let them handle that through their process.
David Eagles is director of the Center for Presidential Transition at the Partnership for Public Service. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you for having me.
We'll post this interview along with all of our ongoing transition coverage at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.